The first case in our calendar is 95-970 Rosen Chance at Alvers BP Chemicals. Mr. Murray.
Good morning, Your Honors. I would like to reserve 2 minutes for Mrs. Kate Long, who represents Mr. Grouch.
Watch your time on the clock.
And I would also like to reserve 3 minutes for a vote.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Your Honors, if President Clinton or the Congress proposed tomorrow to address our oppressive natural debt by declaring that henceforth the subsurface of all properties below 2,000 feet underlying the earth now belongs to the government, and all those resources and commercial value therein belongs to the government. There is nobody, including myself and the appellants here, who would not be outraged by such an unjust and unfair proposal, and I doubt if there's a jurist in the land that wouldn't correctly declare any suggestion.
Isn't the argument that what they are dealing with, what this case is dealing with, is the waters, the state?
Your Honor, of course, I would take great exception to the lower court's opinion on that. In fact, one of the most frightening things the court said on page 17 of the Court of Appeals opinion was, since the state has declared regulatory powers over the water, it also owns the formation. The state owns the formation.
Is that where the dispute focuses?
Well, I think that's clearly the central focus of that underlies the most erroneous deviation from existing law by the Court of Appeals. Very simply stated, we're talking about the formation. If you take the Court of Appeals opinion, there is no other conclusion you can come to other than the state of Ohio now owns your backyard. I believe even my opponents will admit that the pores in the water in your backyard on the hottest day in August contains more water and more open pores and more storage capacity than could be dreamed of at the 2,600 foot level where this stuff is injected under great pressure and force because of the smallness of the pores.
This case doesn't really stand for the proposition that anyone can use your backyard or your construction of a basement. This is a half a mile below the surface of the earth, isn't it?
I can respond to that, Your Honor, by referring to what I suggest is a case that is absolutely dispositive in this case, and this is the decision that this court rendered in 1993 in the Columbia Gas Transmission versus exclusive easement case. How one can distinguish the storage of natural gas, where everybody agrees if you want to store natural gas in the pores of my property, I'm entitled to the rental value for that. How you can distinguish a utility company coming along and temporarily storing natural gas, a natural substance that was taken from the formation in the first place, and the identical type of natural substance put back in, and at the same time state that taking industrial waste and putting it in pores. And if you'll go back to the underlying federal case, Your Honors, that gave rise to the it being certified over the Supreme Court, that natural gas was being pumped 2,900 feet beneath the surface. That's at 776 Federal Second 125.
Well, did the jury lose its way here? I mean, the jury, even a number of the prospective members of the class wrote back apparently saying this is a sham. What are you doing? What are you wasting your time for? We don't want to be a part of this action. Did the jury somehow just lose its way to find that there was no damage, no cause of action?
I think the jury, with the instruction of laws that we've given to Your Honor, with loosens having been taken away after the conclusion of our direct case, I don't think there was any conclusion that the jury could have come to under the instructions of law and with every theory that we had that was taken away and all of the evidentiary rulings that were made on the issue of damages. The jury's determination, quite frankly, in those circumstances, doesn't surprise me at all.
But it was presented as a trespass, and it would have been pretty easy for the jury to find that there's a trespass here, wouldn't it? Here's the waters of brine, the water below the surface of your client's property, and why is that not a trespass? The jury believed it was not.
One of the things that I'll never understand, the same Court of Appeals in its opinion said the issue of whether or not you're entitled to rent wasn't even right. I just don't understand it. That's the essence of this case, is that you own those pores and somebody needs them for a commercial value. This has tremendous commercial value to it. These pores have tremendous commercial value. I'd ask the court, and I'll let the whole case ride in that, if you can intellectually distinguish between the Columbia Gas case, where you're taking natural gas, and where it's just absolutely understood you're entitled to the rental value for those pores, and that this is in the Clinton Foundation, 2,900 feet, 300 to 400 or 500 feet below where the waste are being stored.
I might buy into that. I think that was in the majority of Columbia Gas. I mean, quite strongly about that. But picking up more from where the Chief Justice was going, you got long briefs with a tremendous number of assignments and affairs. Can you point the way you had a jury trial and the jury unanimously went against you? Where was it that the jury didn't have the opportunity to arrive at the conclusion that the Columbia Gas case would allow them to arrive at?
Well, the most significant error, Your Honor, is they never had a chance, they never had an opportunity to address the issue of the rental value or the benefit to BP. Nothing. They never gave that opportunity. There was no opportunity to address what our fundamental contention, because that was not before the jury.
There were a whole series of interrogatories. Given the way they answered the interrogatories, could they have ever got, if the jury had been properly charged on that issue, could they have ever gotten there? In other words, did they close the door to the conclusions that they reached in the answer to other questions?
Absolutely not, Your Honor. The central focus of our appeal here is that this case has got to be reversed and sent back with instructions that this is an ownership, these people own it, and an instruction that they have to make a determination. No evidence. That was totally foreclosed. It was totally foreclosed. We were able to get in an affidavit that never went to the jury. There was an admission. The only admission that was made by BP was we stipulate that there is some economic benefit without quantifying it in any fashion. But that was never submitted to the jury. That issue never went to the jury with any kind of proper instructions of law. This has got to be reversed and with a very simple instruction saying that this is an ownership, and then the jury would have to consider what if any benefit there was to BP, and that's the part that was taken away from us.
Did you get to the point in terms of the evidence where you were quantifying what, if anything, was being stored beneath the plaintiff's property?
There was a finding as to how far the plume went, but there was no proper definition on the issue of trespass. And frankly, if he had to say in one sentence what the error was down below, it was the refusal of the court at all times to recognize the fact that there's ownership, that they own the property, and that they're entitled to the rental value. Well, Your Honor, the old maxim is, of course, to the center of the earth.
Is that what you're claiming?
Well, I think so.
What maxim is, what are you claiming?
But in this context, Your Honor, it's very clear that if you adopt BP's argument, that you have to be using this, which I suggest.
What are you claiming? I don't care what BP claims.
We are claiming we own, the plaintiffs own that pore space, and number one, nobody's entitled to.
How far down?
And certainly at least to the point where it's been demonstrated by BP that it has an enormous commercial value.
Half a mile?
At least to the point where it has any commercial value.
A mile
or 10 miles.
10 miles?
These wells, Your Honor, for oil, they drill below 6,000 feet for oil.
Okay, how far up do you go?
That gets into air rights, which is a whole different area and a whole different body of law. As it has developed on that, and I think that's one of the fundamental areas here. They use the reasonable use doctrine from the air rights case to apply it to this case.
But you accept reasonable use above the ground, but you don't accept reasonable use above the ground.
Well, Your Honor, I'm very happy to adopt the reasonable use. I'm very happy to adopt the reasonable use doctrine. I don't think it's appropriate because it's adapting some air rights principle, but this court wants to adapt the reasonable use doctrine. In this case, I say hallelujah, because who has demonstrated whether or not it's usable more than BP has? BP has used it for 22 years for what is indisputably incredible commercial gain to them. And now this case is a very, this is real estate 101.
Mr.
Is there our pores?
Is this deep well injecting of hazardous waste going on today?
It's going on right as we stand here today, Your Honor. Thousands and thousands of gallons every day.
To do this, what permits do they have to get?
They have to get permits, as I understand it, from the EPA and from both the Ohio EPA and the USPA. Of course, those permits specifically, unlike the comparison they want to make to the Texas law, where you have these commissions that try to do an equitable allocation between, here we have a statute of auditor of the body of law, and right in the permit says, in effect it says, don't get the idea you're going to erect anybody else's property. Everybody's common law rights are reserved with respect to that subsurface. That's what it says in effect.
You find that in the verbiage of the permits themselves.
In the permit itself, and I'm sure
now it's is your argument simply one of use of the space, or is it damage to the reservoir?
The essential argument, Your Honor, the heart of it is the use of the space. We would, as we pointed out in the brief, we think it was very erroneous, however, to eliminate nuisance as a theory for recovery at the conclusion of the direct case.
Doesn't the Court of Appeals opinion indicate that yet to be determined is the question of rent?
They said it wasn't right. They said it right in there, Your Honor, correct. That is what's so mystifying.
Let's see if it is that mystifying. If it is a rental question, and you're saying for the use of the space without showing any pecuniary damage or injury to the residue, why would that not be a correct decision? Why would it not be a correct decision that their liability, if any, is for occupation of the space, not for damage? How are we going to show damage?
The damages that we respectfully suggest to your honor are the loss, are the benefit to BP. In the Columbia case set out the measurement of the damages.
In this case,
we're talking about the same thing. The benefit to BP was
for using your storage.
Right. And
that's
and
rent.
The loss to the plaintiffs was not receiving the rents.
But that's rent, isn't it?
That's rent.
Okay, so you're not looking for monetary damages, you're looking for a fair value as to the amount of the rent for occupying the space.
I think that's correct, Your Honor.
All right, fine.
I would add that we also feel that we were denied the actual damages by taking away the nuisance claim at the end of the claims case.
Well, but all the testimony was that the property owners hadn't changed the use of their land at all. It didn't affect them at all.
That's correct, Your Honor. I think one of those real underlying errors in this case is the failure, is the confusion that the lower courts experienced between this business of serious emotional distress and the emotions associated with interference with use of your property. Those type of losses and those kind of complaints and those kind of feelings do not associated with it, with a trespass and interference with use of your property do not have to rise to the level of serious debilitating injury.
Okay, now following through on this use theory and rent is where I want to go with what I'm asking. If it is properly permitted, I don't mean the right to do it, I'm talking about a permit from the EPA, both federal and state, as I have read that it is. Is there any place that indicates that is a absolute right of one to use that space to the exclusion of the surface owner?
No, Your Honor.
Okay.
It's exactly the opposite. I think they go out of their way to say, no, that's nothing.
The permit itself indicates, don't say, this is just the right to do it. It is not a right against all other claimers.
Your Honor, on the front page of all, I think there were a total of six permits, I'm sure it's part of the exhibit. First page of each one of those exhibits, it states something to the effect, it refers to the statutory section 6411, I think it is, and each one of those permits says something to the effect that all rights of common law rights of other property owners are preserved, and the inevitable interpretation of language is you're not being granted any right in anybody else's property.
Counsel, here's the problem I'm having, and this is just sort of my gut level reaction to what wrong here, if something did go. You've got a massive brief, point towns have all kinds of air, including how a class is determined, all those. And it's hard to keep all the various issues sorted out. And it appears to me that you're even advancing a variety of different theories for damages. I haven't seen your complaint, but my sense is that you shotgunned it, and the trial judge and the jury may or may not have lost their way because you weren't focused on what you now seem to be focused on, that our claim is that they have used our property and they're not paying us rent. Now, that's a fairly straightforward, easy-to-understand issue, and we do have an important case in that.
Your Honor, I would have given my teeth to simplify this issue and go forward on just that question. The record in this case was replete with the fact that I tried to get my own summary judgment motion on that, declaratory judgment motion on it, on the top, and would deny all that relief, and then had to go to trial on a decision made on August 9th, less than 3 months before trial, on this, what I consider to be absolute bizarre bifurcation. To this day, I don't think I could lecture anybody on how to approach that issue. Is there liability to any member of the class? How was I supposed to, with less than 3 months, address that issue? I scrambled around, I came up with some people that talked about Circle, that was taken out. And the effect
you're talking about trespass and nuisance rental value. I mean, those are...
Right, the nuisance was taken away at the end of my direct case, notwithstanding a plethora of testimony by landowners saying that they thought it was very disturbing, that it had affected the enjoyment of the use of the property, directed verdict at the end of the nuisance case, at the end of our direct case. This all goes back to your honor, bifurcation. I mean, I can always stand educated. I think I'm a reasonably diligent attorney, but I mean, to this day, I'm befuddled how one goes to try the case when you suffer with an entry less than 3 months before trial that says we're going forward on this just bizarre issue of liability to any member of the class.
On the rental issue, I thought this waste was pumped into water, brine water that's natural. The Appalachian BP says this is natural flowing water, brine water that's already toxic, well below the surface of the earth, and that the state really owns that. Isn't that the reason the state grants permits? One reason the state grants permits to this is they claim.
Your Honor, one could make a serious argument that the state does not own this because this is water that does not flow. Obviously, it does not flow. This is ancient water. These are ancient seas that have been encapsulated. You could go down to some of these formations and you couldn't even see the water because you would have it dry. It would be dry, but you'd have water could be encapsulated in these microscopic pores. Now, in this particular formation, yes, there is some of this brinish water. This idea that it's hazardous, it's salt water.
Well, yes, Your Honor, well, salt water is hazardous. Yeah. You can give animals salt water, enough salt water, they're going to die. But it's salt water.
Okay.
This idea that we're putting hazard
chemicals... I'm more concerned about who owns it, because if your clients claim rental value, they have to have ownership of it, don't they? Some right...
Your Honor, I go back to what I said before. The focus of this is we own the formation. They are pushing out the natural brine in any event. Sure, there is
okay,
some dilution takes place, but they are shoving under tremendous pressure. They're taking this call of the waters of the state of the wish. I don't think it can fit into that category, but if you assume it does, they are pushing that brine away and replacing it with these chemicals that are very expensive to get rid of.
So even assuming that the state owns the water, your contention is the plaintiffs own the formation in which the natural water flows.
Absolutely. I think the court is going down a very sad intellectual track that even addresses the issue of the water of the state. I would almost take the approach of arguing, I'm not going to concede that it's water of the state, but I see it as just a non-issue on a basis of intellectual analysis, but it's a non-issue whether or not it's water. It's the formation, then it stays there for 10,000 years. That is not a flowing lake. Nobody can stretch intellectual concepts that far to call
going to stay down there for 10,000 years. We measure our whole temporal time period from before Christ and after Christ, which is coming up upon 2,000 years.
Let me interrupt you, Mr. Murray. You're well over your time. You've used over 15 minutes. I'd like to give Ms. Walsh a chance to argue for a minute, and then I'll give you a little time for rebuttal.
Thank you very much, sir.
Takes more than 15 minutes, I think. So. Ms. Walsh.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ladies and gentlemen of the court, I'll be very brief. I think the most important thing on appellate Virginia Rausch's behalf is what is timely notice in a class action lawsuit.
Are you seeking the class action?
Mrs. Rausch sought to make an appearance, and in her motion to intervene, that was entitled to intervene, she sought time to decide whether or not to opt out or to ask to remain a member of the class.
That's why I'm asking you, because you seem to be raising the issue of the class, and yet you haven't even decided if you want to be part of the class.
I don't think Mrs. Rausch had the time to decide, and I think that the denial of the continuance and forcing her to make that decision in 19 days on a case with the issues this complicated was not adequate notice to her.
How far does she live from the 200 BP facility?
She was in the center of the city of Longmont, and it was shown at trial that.
How far is that? Because for some reason, the class was sought to be limited to a 5-mile radius. Why would that be? Not the whole state of Ohio.
Because I think that was the class as it was determined by the lawsuit. That was the class that they were that the plaintiffs chose to represent, and they chose to sue BP. In this state, there are many possible defendants in a case like this. As we know, deep well injection is now becoming the primary method of disposal of hazardous waste with the limitation on the ability to incinerate it.
So if we find the class certification denied was proper, that really ends your participation?
No, I think that if you find the class certification was proper, it does not end our participation.
Well, I said if we find that the denial of it was proper.
No, I think we were in the class that was indeed certified. But if you find that we have decertified claims,
you're not in a position to be an individual plaintiff.
Oh yes, I am in a position to be an individual plaintiff because the lawsuit, the evidence showed that Mrs. Rausch's property was indeed within the plume. So she has a right to be an individual plaintiff, and she has an individual action in this lawsuit.
Did you join this lawsuit other than as an intervener?
No, we...
So you did not file, did you? You did not, did you, as an individual plaintiff?
We were notified, and what Mrs. Rausch asked for was time to decide whether or not to opt out.
Understood.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Mays.
Thank you. May it please the Court, Damon Mays, on behalf of the appellee, BP Chemicals. Your Honors, the jury heard more than 2 dozen witnesses. They reviewed all the evidence. They were instructed, as the plaintiff requested, that the plaintiff owned the property beneath their land to the center of the earth. They came back with a unanimous verdict in favor of BP Chemicals. They found there's been absolutely no interference with the plaintiff's complete use of their property, no damage to any property, and no effect on property values.
Counsel, how do you distinguish it from the gas transmission?
Your Honor, the wastewater disposal is what's going on here. It's not storage of gas. No court across this country has treated disposal wells as storage wells. Deep wells have been used in this country for more than 50 years.
Okay.
In addition to Ohio, Your Honor.
So it's not storage?
It's not storage.
And what is it?
It's disposal. In the natural gas case, what happens there is it's an exclusive use because in that stratum, what you're really paying for is the right to take the gas back out. Under the rule of capture, your neighbor could drill down, and as long as his well is bottomed on his property, he could suck out every drop of what you're trying to store. What you're paying him for is not to affect that, so you can come back and get it back out. You're not paying for the storage space per se. You're limiting his right. In this case, there's no limitation on their right. That issue is before the jury.
So that we can understand the nature of what your company or your client has done, how large is the flow?
The jury has made a factual determination on that. There's a
right. No, I'm asking you, what's, you're in control of a lot of information. You know how large the plume is, how large is the plume.
Well, it's not quite that simple, Your Honor, because it's not a simple server. But it's runs from about a mile to less than a mile in different directions. Now,
the widest part of the circle would be a mile out from DT's property.
Approximately, yes, Your Honor.
And what quantity of material has been put down there over time?
Well, that's the other point, Your Honor. This material, unlike the natural gas storage, where there's an airspace that then you're putting this natural gas into, here the void spaces is already filled with the property of the state. These native brine waters that have been there for 500 million years, all that's happening with this wastewater disposal are those molecules that are put down underneath BP's property are migrating out into. And the testimony was undisputed. It referred to page 1532 of the transcript. It was undisputed that the injectate and the native brine are mixed together. They're moving together. There's no bonding of the injectate to the rock or placement on the rock. So in terms of how much or what the concentration is, it is extremely small. It is
My question is, what's the total quantity that you put down?
Well, I think it's approximately 4 billion gallons that have been injected at the time of the trial. But in terms of how much under any piece of property, I mean, it's like 1 to 8 zeros and then a 1 in terms of any type of concentration.
And it's your argument that encapsulated molecules of brine are waters of the state?
It's my position, Your Honor, both by statute and under the common law that this court declared in the Klein case, that underground waters, service property owners, neither BP nor the plaintiffs have title in those waters. It's a natural resource of the state. The state under its police powers.
So the water molecules in my backyard or anybody else's backyard are part of the waters of the state.
When they flow into an underground body of water, statute says in 6111.
When they stay on my or anybody else's property.
In effect, that's correct, because they will flow into streams or other bodies of water within the confines of the state. The statute's very clear on this, and the common law is equally clear. The statute says underground waters, and it defines waters of the state to include ponds, marshes, static waters, and specifically includes water, underground waters.
But the injectate does not really flow, is it?
Yes, it is, Your Honor. But that's not the issue here. Because the rock, the jury was instructed that the plaintiffs own the rock to the center of the earth. We feel wrongly, but this court doesn't need to reach that issue because it was, again, absolutely undisputed that there's been no damage, no effect whatsoever on that rock. And there's been no limitation, equally as important, no limitation on the plaintiffs' use of their property.
Well, what about Superior Forge, though? It appeared that they had wanted to drill for gas, and BP said you better watch.
Again, I would ask the court to please go back to the transcript. Don't rely on the characterization that's in the brief. But it was undisputed at page 569. Mr. Frank said, the depot injection activities of British Petroleum interfered with the full use of your properties. His response, no, it has not. Mr. Gurry makes some characterizations of the testimony in his brief, but what came out was that Superior Court, nobody in the state of Ohio has ever produced oil and gas from this strata. What we're talking about here, and again, the jury heard this for 2 weeks, not for 15 minutes, but the stratum involved is so far below, it's way down, 3,000 feet deep.
Mr. Gurry, can you see this, Mr. Gurry?
The only oil and gas that's ever been produced in the state of Ohio is up in the Trenton Formation. There's many other layers of impervious rock between that and this. It's undisputed that this layer down here is already saturated with this native brine that's already toxic.
And
it's not just salt water, like I said at that point, because it's got cadmium, high sodium, high TDS, a number of other compounds in it already. I'm sorry.
What is the issue here really? I'm sorry, Justice.
No, that's fine.
This is the issue of your agreement. The use of a person's property without their permission and without compensation.
But it's not their property, Your Honor. That's where this court has already drawn a line between rock, solid, and liquids. This court has declared, as have other courts across the country.
You didn't get permission to do this by any property owner, did you?
No, Your Honor.
All right, so that's one thing. So you're trespassing, technically. You're using other people's property without their permission. That's one. Now, what makes you think that you can use other people's property without their permission, without compensating them.
Well, you're assuming a conclusion there, Your Honor, but even if we go with your characterization, we're not storing it.
You said the stipulation of the evidence shows that they owned the land all the way down through to where these
right, but we're not using that land, and even if you want to characterize it as the
but
space.
The ownership is not in dispute, is it?
Your Honor, no more so is
the
this.
The ownership is not in dispute.
It's the ownership of what, Your Honor? The liquid or the rock?
Where these things are being stored.
See, but it's not being stored, it's being disposed of. This is not storage, Your Honor, any more than when the City of Columbus and its wastewater treatment plant gets the proper permits under the Clean Water Act and discharges effluent into the Scioto River. They're not storing it on lower riparian owners' rivers. The lower riparian owners, if they could prove special damage,
you
might have a claim.
Are you saying that the evidence proved conclusively that this waste that you're pumping onto other people's property is dissipated and disappears and flows away from that property over a certain amount of time?
That's what happens, Your Honor. It both degrades and it dilutes into the brine, and
none of that waste, toxic waste, remains in the area that it is first put into.
None of it gets deposited onto the rock at all. It goes in the native brine and degrades into
the river. That was shown beyond any doubt.
It was, Your Honor, but more importantly than that, even if it was deposited on the rock, the courts around this country have held, take the air smokestack cases. When Ohio State University incinerates its medical waste, it puts particulate matter up into the air, which falls on the neighboring property.
Nothing to do with this type of case. This is below the ground.
But in fact, below the ground should be even more case of no liability, Your Honor. On the surface, there's actual exposure. Those particulate matters fall on our houses, ourselves, our cars, our pets, our property. And the question is, how much has fallen? Is there any substantial interference with use? Is there any damage? Here, there's absolutely no contact. Every court, numerous courts across this country.
I'm not talking about damage. I'm talking about the use of someone's property without compensation and without permission. That's where I'm concentrating on.
Well, and that's where it's important.
That's what you're doing here.
That's where it's important, Your Honor, is the fact that the Malthus stay, as the jury found, within the native brine wise. Ohio has always followed the rule of capture, which is, as long as you drill the well and it ends underneath your property, you can suck out whatever, no matter whose property it flows out from underneath. Many courts across, every court that has faced this issue across the country has found the opposite is true too, that as long as the well is bottomed down your property, you can inject fluids. And it doesn't matter if some of that injected fluid migrates into the underground brine underneath neighboring properties, so long as it doesn't cause damage. There's no actionable trespass. And these other courts in Texas and Oklahoma, they have similar statutes to ours that have the common law exception.
Do they all concern themselves with toxic waste?
Several cases deal with brine injected. One case, the Thoreau case from Louisiana, dealt with disposal of hazardous waste. But the issue, Your Honor, 30 states in addition to Ohio have recognized and used deep well injection. Deep wells have been in use for 50 years across this country. No state anywhere has recognized this type of cause of action. Sure, if it contaminates somebody's drinking water, if it floods an oil well, if it does cause some of their damage, then there would be a liability.
So you contend that you have that the owner of the property has no rights whatsoever unless your activities cause them some type of damage.
Their rights, Your Honor, in the underground brine is a right to use. They do not own title in the underground brine. If they could show that we were unreasonably interfering with a use that they were going to make of the brine, there may be some responsibility.
So
that's what the Klein case stands for.
They then can get compensation outside of showing damage.
It either has to be damage or an interference with the use of the property. That's what the courts have held around the country. I mean, we would be in a quagmire. I mean, not only the City of Columbus, cities around this state and industry get these permits from under the Clean Water Act, both state and federal, to discharge effluent. There's no responsibility to the lower riparian owner. They're not storing the waste, they're disposing of it.
Well, what were we talking about before on the front of the page of the permit that they're not giving you any rights over the land?
That's the point I was trying to make. In the other state Supreme Courts that have addressed this issue and found no liability without damage, those states also have similar language in their statute to say, you got the permit, but it doesn't abridge remedies under the common law.
Right.
And what that preserves is your right to come back for special damages. We're not claiming any exclusive privilege and any absolute immunity that if we ever cause any damage, We would be not be subject to liability. That's not what we're claiming.
Well, the statute 611108 says that if you get a permit, essentially it doesn't affect the exercise of right in equity under the common law to suppress nuisances or to abate pollution. So that's I assume that's the statute that we're talking about.
Right, you're right. And pollution is defined under the terms of the code under 6111, and this is not pollution since you have a permit to do it.
There's no nuisance here because there's no interference with the use of the property.
In fact, the jury came back with a specific finding. As you know, nuisance is based on interference with the use of the property, and the jury came back with a unanimous specific finding. We're not interfering with the use of the property. Judge Jaffe commented that there hadn't been any evidence at all of nuisance. In fact, he noted that since depot injection had been ongoing for more than 25 years before some of the class was even aware of it, it was obviously, it wasn't affecting their use. In fact,
I'd like to focus on, it seems to me that a lot of legal issues potentially floating around since we've mentioned Murray's clients had their fair shot at the jury on a number of those legal issues. He claims the issue that they didn't get a shot at the jury on was recovery of fair rental value for the storage of this material. Now, do you agree that that was an issue that didn't get to the jury, that the trial judge ruled that out, and that was an issue that the jury never got to consider?
No, Your Honor. There has to be a determination of liability before there's a determination of damages, and damages were never fully briefed or argued below, so that's not really a ripe issue for this case. But even if we go to the Columbia Gas case, which Mr. Murray cites, there this court held that the viewpoint is from the point of view of the landowner, what the landowner has lost, not what the defendant has taken. Here the jury has concluded in its interrogatory that there's no, it's the standard measure of damages is the difference in fair market value before and after.
Well, no, that's the theory that Columbia Gas advanced, and that's the theory that I believe we rejected in that case, if I'm not mistaken.
Now, this court explicitly stated that the viewpoint was not the benefit, which is what Mr. Murray's arguing, but the detriment. What has the landowner lost?
But do you agree that the storage issue and the measure of damage, however it's supposed to be measured, that was an issue that didn't get to the jury?
That issue was fairly before the jury because it relates to the use. The jury found no interference with the use. If there was some appropriation of storage rights, that would have been an appropriation of use. That would have been a limitation on the plaintiff's use of the property. The jury here heard all the evidence for 2 weeks. They heard all the experts. They heard what is actually going on there. And they determined that there's no interference with use. So they determined there was no appropriation of storage rights. That's where this issue of the storage is different than the disposal, because the testimony was undisputed. If they wanted to put a depot in their backyard and inject down into the same stratum, they could. If they injected, it would just push away whatever trace molecules of BP chemicals injectate was there. We are not limiting what they're used. That's far different than the natural gas storage, where you can't drill down to that stratum at all. We can't do anything there. There is no interference with use here as opposed to the natural gas storage.
Is the problem we're having with the storage versus the disposal aggravated by the fact that I think in Murray's brief, or one of the briefs, it was indicated that the brine, the natural flow of the brine, is at about 2 inches a year, and that if this natural flow was a mile a minute or a mile a day, it'd be much easier to conceptualize this as not storage, as a place that the plaintiff owns or has, to which the plaintiff has rights, but it is actually a flowing stream through the subsurface. Is that part of
a distinction without a difference for two reasons, Your Honor. One, the state defined this as waters of the state regardless of movement, even if it doesn't move at all. And more importantly, let's go back to the analogy of the Columbus wastewater treatment plant that dumps into the river. They have that permit 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. They're dumping molecules into that river that are going by the lower riparian owners. So it's not that it was one molecule that was there and gone. It's constantly there. And even though that rivers and streams, lakes flow over neighboring property, those neighboring owners have no no right to any kind of a storage fee or easement fee. Sure, you have to go. The police power has been exercised by the state of Ohio, and you must get your permits, you must comply with your permits, which is being done here. But there's no right of any lower riparian owner unless you can show some damage. I live along Interstate 271 up by Cleveland. Everywhere, ODOT comes out and salts the roads. When the runoff occurs, molecules of salt come over onto my property. Is that a trespass that causes no damage? Certainly not. If it damaged my trees or my grass, I might have a claim against the contractor or someone. But if it causes no damage, we can't get into this quagmire of allowing actions in trespass all across this state.
Well, it may technically be a trespass for which there's no damages.
Right. And that's what these courts have decided here when they look at these underground property rights issues. Uniformly, again, this has been going on for 50 years across the country. Every court that has looked at this issue uniformly, both in the air and underground, have determined no liability, no trespass without damages. And that's what this court should do as well.
Is it not your position that, notwithstanding what was said about the Court of Appeals opinion, that there is no issue of rent still, I don't want to say floating around, reposed in the trial court?
It's a two-step question, Your Honor, because first there has to be some appropriation of a right, some appropriation of a use, a storage. That issue's been determined. There has been none. If the jury had come back and said, yes, you appropriated a use, you were using up storage space that they could use for something else or something, then you could go on to the damage phase and say, well, how much was that storage right worth? This jury had already heard all the facts and said, no interference with use.
My question is, it's your position there is nothing left in the trial.
That's true, Your Honor.
So that affirming the Court of Appeals opinion ends this case.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And then you never really get to the certification or any of those questions.
Correct, Your Honor.
You've used your time, Mr. Mason.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Murray, you've used your time to take a minute. What do you want?
Okay. I think probably that in 1 minute, we go back to this circular thing about there has to be an interference with use. The jury obviously never got to the rental question, but never instructed on the rental question.
I'm still having a problem. I want to make sure I understand your concept of what is happening here. It seems to me we've got a dispute between whether this injectate is being stored as Columbia Gas stored natural gas with the intention of it, that it not move out, ooze out or whatever, but that they could withdraw it. And this case in which BP wants this material to leave, to move with the underground waters, which the claim is the state owns it. Doesn't the state own? There's no, can't be a dispute about that. Can the state owns this?
Your Honor, I think it could dispute it. I don't want to dispute it because I think I'm not conceding it. It's such a specious argument because you're talking about the formation, not about
We're talking about putting toxic waste into a stream of water that's flowing beneath. It doesn't matter. It doesn't affect the formation. It doesn't matter how large the formation. Well, maybe it does, but it's not the formation that is. It's the agent that does something to the waste.
Your Honor, if you can, as I pointed out in my brief, take encapsulated water that is, first of all, displaced, and then those pores are then replaced with this toxin, if you can intellectually make the leap to take water, encapsulated material like that is moving slower than the state of California, as I put it out in my reply brief, I called up the geologists, there's evidence that the state of California is moving into the ocean faster than this material is moving. It's the formation. It's not the liquid. And to make this comparison and say, this argument is just intellectually like scraping a chalkboard. He says if you put it down there permanently, that's not a trespass. Put the gas down there temporarily, that's a trespass.
Would it make any difference if the water into which the injectate was being injected, if I'm using the right terms, would it make any difference if that water was flowing at a mile a minute?
I think if it were some, and it was leaving no residue, and it was cleansing itself out, and it was some very temporal thing, then I think you're into a different. But this is staying there by their own testimony for 10,000 years in this valuable formation that has to meet all these tests. They have to meet a test of porosity,
permeability, containment, those things give commercial value to that formation. And the essence of this case is, why should BP, who has become an international empire based upon that overwhelming concept that if you've got commercial value associated with your property, and this you can't do this everywhere. Understand, Your Honor,
well, you can fairly do it in every state. They say you can do it in every state, actually, without any consequences.
Well, that would go to the value of the resource. But why did they have to spend $4 million doing tests to convince the state of Ohio if it's just everywhere? If it's what the geologists for the state of Ohio say, yeah, this is good anywhere.
Well,
as long as you're 2,600 feet, do it any way you want. No, you have to have a specific formation with specific containment qualities. That's the essence of this case. That has commercial value. And why should these little people who have the good fortune of owning that thing of commercial value, why should they be eliminated from the same type of rental value that a person is entitled to for storage of gas, like in the Columbia National case, 2,900 feet?
I want to get back to the Columbia Gas case, which actually we answered questions on how you value something in an eminent domain proceeding that I believe was in federal court. Maybe your cause of action should be a mandamus to require BP to undertake eminent domain proceedings to condemn or acquire this storage area that they're using.
Precisely, Your Honor, and they didn't do that.
Yeah,
I don't know where they have
that
power.
Kind of an action.
What they should have done was go down to the legislature and say, give us the eminent domain powers for purposes of discharging this waste since we're going to put it under other people's formation. Go down there and get the eminent domain powers be granted to them. But they didn't do that. They willfully, knowingly, intentionally took their plume, shoved it down there with the full hydrogeological knowledge, knowing that it was going to pancake underneath other people's properties. And how you can make a distinction between permanent disposal of this very expensive stuff to get rid of, byproducts of, again, the great irony in this case, byproducts of the stuff, the minerals and the oils that the BPs and other petrochemical members of the industry have pulled up in the first place. Now they've created these horrible byproducts that they have to be gotten rid of. My plaintiffs own the container. We have the commercial ability to provide a very incredibly a valuable service to BP. And yes, admittedly, it's due in part that we have the good fortune of being next door to them. But I can't believe the highest court in our state is going to say that commercial value is something that these people can't honestly lay claim to.
Thank you, Mr. Murray.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.